Guess the theme for this morning. We're looking at the heart. But I'd like to tell you a story, if I could, if you'll indulge me. You see, all of the children in the village were really sick. The queue to the doctor's surgery was going round the corner. No one could work out why everyone had become so poorly. And the doctor was trying to work out if there was a common factor that was linking all of these cases together. And as he talked to families, as he talked to children, as he tried to work out why all the children were so poorly and unwell, he discovered that they'd all been drinking from the same water source. They'd been down to the old village pump. Oh, it doesn't look very good, does it? Would you want to drink water from that? There's like bike wheels and litter and feral animals living around it. The base is all cracked so bugs and bacteria can get into the cistern. It's dripping, it smells, it looks like there's something living inside of it. I wouldn't want to take any water from there. Now, what do you do as a village when your water pump is messed up and all your children are sick? Well, there's only one thing you can do, isn't there? There's only one sensible solution, one answer to this problem, and that is to call a village local parish meeting, am I right? If you want to get something done locally, you need to go to your parish council meeting, okay? We all saw the Zoom over lockdown, didn't we? Okay, and a meeting was called. And miraculously, the whole village turned up. Isn't that amazing? Okay, and people were really concerned and voicing, what are we going to do about this pump? How are we going to fix it? And the clerk, the town clerk, he said, are there any suggestions from the floor? What are we going to do about our broken, damaged pump? Now, an old man was there. And he stood up slowly. Told you it's an all-age service. There's an old man. He stood up and he leaned on his stick and he said, Mr. Clerk, I have got a very old book at home. And it tells me that if you want to clean something, if you want to make something really clean, you need to clean it up on the inside. Absolutely fantastic, said the clerk. Yep, if we need to clean it up on the outside. Could you take a minute of that, please, secretary? And it was minuted, and then it was passed over. Does anyone else have any suggestions? And a student was home on holiday. She studies at Exeter University. She's going for a bachelor's in sociology combined with environmental studies. And she said that this pump has clearly been neglected. No one's looking after it. Look at the state of it. No wonder it isn't giving good, clean water. We need to clean its environment. We need to smarten it up. And then when the pump is happy in itself and it looks the part, it will give good, clean, safe drinking water. Well, everybody thought that was a wonderful idea. And they got a work party organised. The clerk put it to a vote. It was unanimous. The date was set. Everyone got to work. And the job was done. Look at that. Almost puts our bandstand to shame, doesn't it? What a wonderful village effort. Okay, and the local brass band were pulled together. There was a fanfare, a ribbon was cut. The clerk went to the handle and he started to pump it. The town mayor held a ceremonial glass under the fount and the water filled up the glass. The mayor took it to his lips and took the first wonderful taste of this wonderful water from the wonderful new pump. And, gads, that's disgusting. Is water supposed to be chewy? I don't think so. You've got good imagination this morning. It's meant to be clear. It's meant to flow. It's not meant to be thick and oozy. Gads, it hadn't worked. They'd smartened up the pump. They'd changed its surroundings. They'd made it look wonderful. Tried to make it feel really good about itself. But it still wasn't giving good water. What are we going to do? Well, there's only one thing you can do in a time like this, isn't there? When you've got a dodgy pump and your kids are all sick, you need to call a local parish meeting. And so that's what they did. The bulletins went out, the date was set, everyone arrived, again, miraculously. The clerk asked for suggestions. What are we going to do about the sick children and our broken water pump? And an old man stood up and he said, "I've got a book at home. It's a very old book, but it tells me that if you want to clean something up, really clean it up, you need to clean it up on the inside." "Yep, absolutely fantastic suggestion. Make a minute of that, please, Mr. Secretary. Does anybody else have a suggestion?" Well, a young boy stood up and he said, "When we're at school and we misbehave, we get sent to our headmaster. And you do not want to get sent to our headmaster." That's a scary looking dude, isn't it? This guy's old school. Okay, he was serving back in the day when you could cane kids and he misses it. Okay? And a date was set for the headmaster to come and lecture the pump to punish it. Because actually, let's be honest here, this pump is making people sick and it needs to stop. So the headmaster came and a crowd gathered to watch him punish the pump. And he was an old-fashioned kind of man, and he gave the pump what for. He took out about 20 years of political correctness gone mad. Okay, he took out 20 years of Ofsted inspections, parents who don't back you up in parents' meetings. He was livid with that pump, and he gave it. He took out canes, and by the time he was done and scratching up its lovely paintwork, well, let me tell you, that pump knew that it had been a bad pump. And everyone was wincing. And the headmaster said, "Well, I've told it never to do it again, and I'm sure we won't have any trouble from it now." So a new ribbon was put up and cut. Everyone gathered. The brass band played their fanfare. The town clerk went to the handle, and he pumped the water into the mayor's glass. The mayor lifted it up to his lips. Surely, surely now it's going to give good water. He took a swig, and, oh, it was awful. He was retching. There was dry heaving. It was not pretty. It hadn't worked. As the mayor went home to recover, the village thought to themselves, "We've tried changing its environment, we've tried telling it off, we've even given it a darn good thrashing, and it's still not giving good water. What are we going to do?" Well, there's only one thing you can do in a time like this, isn't there? And that is to call a local parish meeting, which they did. A date was set, the emails went out, no apologies, and people turned up to this meeting because they really wanted good water from their pump and they wanted their children to be well. "Does anybody have any suggestions," said the clerk, "for what we're going to do about this pump?" You know it, don't you? An old man got up and what did he say? He said, "I've got a very old book at home and it tells me that if you really want to clean something up, you have to clean it up on the inside." "Clean it up on the inside. Absolutely fantastic," said the town clerk. "Make a minute of that, please, Mr. Secretary. Does anybody else have a suggestion?" And a lady stood up and said, "Well, I go to St. Cuthbert's. And actually, I want to say that if there's something that isn't right in our church, our vicar really puts us straight on it. And actually, I'm sure that if we invited our vicar to come and preach to the pump, to address its morals, then I'm sure we're going to get some good water out of this pump." Well, here's the Right Reverend Dr. Vicar Rothcumbert. And if you think I go on sometimes, you've not seen anything. You know, if you think 20 to 40 minutes is a long sermon, you've not been to St. Cuthbert's. Okay, you arrive in the morning and you bring a packed lunch because you know it's going to be good. He's going to go there. There's not going to be a dry eye in the place. He's going to sermonize. He's going to touch hearts and change minds. You know, he's a powerful orator. And he decided that he was going to come and address the pump's morals. And he started to preach at it. "Thou hast been a very wicked pump. Thou must change thy ways." And he just went on. And the crowd watching, they started to feel bad. They started to feel guilty. They started to wax and wane. And when everybody snapped out of the sermon-induced coma, Vicar Rothbert was sweating profusely. and said, that should be it. I've preached at that pump like I've never preached before. I've challenged its moral basis and its understanding. It's going to give good water now. A little bit more timidly now, the village gathered. The brass band played a slightly more tense fanfare. The clerk gingerly took the handle and started to pump water into a glass that the mayor wasn't really so sure about drinking anymore. He's been there a few times now. But he takes the drink up to his lips. He takes a sip. And he can feel little things wriggling in his mouth. Oh, it hasn't worked. We've changed its environment. We've told it what a good pump it is. We've told it off. We've told it what a bad pump it is. We've preached to it and addressed it on every plane possible, but our pump is still giving bad water. What are we going to do? Well, there's only one thing you can do at a time like this, isn't there? You have to call a local village parish council meeting and work out what is what. Reluctantly, everybody came. The clerk read through the previous minutes all of the ways that they'd tried to address this pump and fix the problem. Does anybody have any suggestions about what we can do about this pump? And as the clerk looked around at the village, no one had any ideas. They'd exhausted the communal think tank. That is until an old man stood up. He said, I've got a very old book at home. And it tells me that if you really want to clean something up, you have to clean it up on the inside. Yes, yes, very good, said the town clerk. Please make a minute of that. Does anybody else have any suggestions? But it was just tumbleweed. So the clerk had no choice but to put it to a vote. And people decided, why don't we try the old man's suggestion and listen to his very old book. The old man brought a little card out of his jacket pocket and handed it to the town clerk. And on that card was the number for a plumber. The clerk went to the phone. He rang the number, and because it's a story, miraculously the plumber was there and answered the call. Because it's a story, the plumber also gave a date and a time and didn't turn up 6 hours later. Okay? But the plumber came. And he took a look at the pump. He saw the cracked canes. He saw the scratches in the paintwork. He saw all of the effort that people had gone to making this pump a good pump. And he went back to his van and pulled out a girt big spanner and started wrestling with the bolts around the base of the pump. And as people watched, he grabbed the pump in a bear hug-like grip and he lifted it up, ignoring all health and safety lifting procedures. He wrestled it to one side and put it down, put a head torch on, and started to work inside the pump. He was down there for 15 minutes, sifting through dirty water, pulling things out before he returned to his van for a pair of grabby tongs. He reached down into the water, right down into the depths, and he pulled out a great, big, hairy, water-bloated, diseased-looking, very drowned rat. The town clerk turned a whiter shade of pale, and the mayor lost his breakfast, as everyone realised just why everyone had gotten so sick. The plumber looked very, very pleased with himself. He disposed of the rat, put the pump back together, ran a good few cycles through it, and started producing the clearest, most minerally infused, wonderful water you can get without spending a fortune at a supermarket. The pump had been fixed. It's a good story, isn't it? But actually, it's very similar to a story that Jesus tells. It's very similar to some words that Jesus says. He says, to a group of people who thought that they were pleasing God, woe to you, you've made a mistake, teachers of the law and Pharisees. You've cleaned the outside of the cup, but you've neglected to clean the inside. Jesus said that what comes out of a person's heart is the real problem. It's not the food we eat. It's not necessarily the places we go, the clothes we wear, even the friends we keep. But Jesus says that human beings' biggest problem is what's on the inside. Now, when Jesus is talking about our heart, he's not talking about the organ that pumps blood around our body. He's talking about the things we love, the way we think, the things we prioritize. Jesus said this, where your treasure is, so your heart will be also. What you care about most in the world, that's where your heart is, that's where your love is. And Jesus says the biggest problem with people is we've all got this problem with our hearts. We like things that we shouldn't. We're attracted to things that actually aren't good for us or can be shameful. We don't love God or other people or even ourselves the way we ought to. And some of us, we try lots of different ways to fix that problem. A bit like the village, they paint up the pump, try and cover it up. Some of us, we punish ourselves and other people, as if really telling someone off is going to change the most important part of us. Others, well, it is morals, it is sermons. Church can be a massive block, actually, to finding God. Coming to church doesn't mean you're part of God's family. Reading the Bible doesn't mean you're part of God's family. Knowing John 3:16 off by heart doesn't mean you're part of God's family. Asking Jesus to give us a clean, new, fresh heart is what makes us part of God's family. And the wonderful thing about Christianity is Jesus doesn't want us to try and fix the problem on our own. He doesn't want us to work it out. He doesn't want us to be really, really clever or really, really good and just try our best, just keep as many of the rules as we can. A bit like the village calling for the plumber, Jesus wants us to ask him for help. Now, if you're sitting there this morning and you're thinking, oh gosh, I feel like there's a big rat inside me, then you need to go to Jesus. If you've already gone to Jesus and you think, well, that's great, Richard, but I've been a Christian for 40 years. Okay, I gave my life to Jesus decades ago. That's wonderful. You're part of the family. But is your heart soft towards the thing that Jesus cares about? Some Christians can be very hard-hearted, can't they? Some Christians, you almost wonder if they've met a wonderful risen Lord Jesus. But as Christians, we should have soft hearts. Hearts that get sad and hurt for things which are wrong. Hearts which love and care about things which are good and pleasing. So what we're going to do is we're going to say another prayer before we sing. And if you haven't yet become a Christian, if you've never asked Jesus to clean you up on the inside, then I'd invite you to say these words in your heart today. And let me or Mark or someone know at the end that you've said it, because we'd love to COVID-friendlily welcome you into the family. But also, if you've been a Christian for a long time or a little time, and you're sensing that maybe the pump has got a bit rusty or needs a service, as Catherine was saying earlier, then take the opportunity to talk to Jesus this morning and ask him to soften your edges, to round off the sharp corners, and to give us a heart that cares about the things that God cares about. Shall we do that together? Okay, so when I say P, we're going to put our arms out in front of us. When I say R, we're going to cross them. When I say why, we bow our head. And when I say, no, A-I-B-F, we bow our head, and why, we close our eyes. So P, R, A, and Y. Our Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, thank you that you love each and every one of us so, so much. Thank you for the way that you've made us to be, all the unique and exciting things about who we are. Thank you that when you made us, you want us to know you and to enjoy being part of your family. Jesus, I'm sorry for the things that I have done or said, or the things I've failed to do and say that have hardened my heart against the things you care about. Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, please clean me up on the inside and count me into your family. Help me to turn away from things that I know are wrong and turn towards the way you want me to live. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a happy song to finish with. Okay, because we're still a couple of weeks away from singing, so we might as well do something we can clap and dance to. So, if you still feel like you need to do some business with God and talk to him, feel free to stay sitting and talk to him. That's more important, actually, than joining in with this song. But if you feel like you want to get up and have a move, then feel free to join in as best as we can as we close our service.